I'm Jamie Gennaro, and this is Business for Humans. Let's talk about taking your business to a new level without the suits and without being a robot. Here, you can be yourself, you can be imperfect, you can be flawed, and you can still have raging success. So let's go. Here we are again, another episode. I get so excited about these episodes because it's such a good way for me to really concretely work through some of the systems and methodologies that I've developed, but I haven't necessarily ejected from my brain. So I just use certain, I guess, methods or frameworks. I hate using those words because it sounds so corporate, but there is a certain method to my madness. And there are steps that I rely on to get there, but I literally have never written it down. It's just like a rinse and repeat. It's like muscle memory. When I work with clients, I kind of just walk them through these phases, but I never concretely have written it down. So I want to record this so that a little bit of that framework gets captured somewhere. So here it is. The steps to building a million-dollar business. So let me be transparent here. I have built multi-million-dollar businesses for other people. So I want to be transparent. I don't currently have a million-dollar business. I'm on the way. This is my goal. This is my level-up point. But I have worked with clients within this current role that I'm playing, where I've taken their business from 6 to 7 figures. And I'm really happy to say that I have one client who just crested 5 million, and it's the first time she's ever made that much money in 25 years of running that business. So I'm very happy that I'm able to use these processes for my clients. And what's ironic, right? It always works this way. It's so easy to do it for other people. It's so much harder to do it for ourselves. Why? No idea. I have no idea. Maybe because we're spending so much time working on other people's businesses that we're not putting that same level of time and effort into our own. I'm not sure. But I have gotten businesses over the 1 million threshold. I've gotten business over the 3 million, over the 5 million, and over the 10 million. And actually 14. So I think 14 is as high as I go so far. That's the most revenue I've been able to, I wouldn't say help generate, because it's not that I've always been at the front end of new business, but creating the structure to be able to support it, right? So when you're weightlifting, you need to have the bones to support the extra weight. And that's what I do. I set the foundation for the business. I help each phase get stronger so that when they pull in that amount of revenue, they have the right team, the right support system, the resources, the financial setup to be able to support that revenue. So no matter where you are in your business journey, what I'd like you to do is I would like you to just get a pen or a pencil, whichever you prefer, get a piece of paper, and I want you to write 1 million on there in whatever currency you're currently working in. I currently work in euros, so it might even be slightly more than $1 million. I just want you to write that down. And if you've already made it over the hump of 1 million or 2 million, just write what your next goal is. But I really want to focus this on 1 million. For some of us, it's a really lofty goal, right? To go from 6 figures to 7 figures is a totally different, it feels like we're operating in a different space, right? The people we surround ourselves with, the business leaders we're looking up to, the coaches that we're leaning on, this is the space we want them to be in so that they're helping pull us to that place. So when you have this number written down, what we need to do is we need to build what we call in project management a work back calendar. We need to work ourselves backwards to where we are now from that place where we're going. So what is step, let's say there are 10 steps. So the 10th step is a million. What is step 9? What does step 9 look like when you're getting to $1 million? Well, you have to have the team to support a million. And only you know what that team looks like. It depends on whether you're a product business or you're a services business. But we're talking about a million in revenue, right? We're not talking about a million going into your pocket. So the other thing you need to have besides the team is you need to have the right budget. So my back of the napkin math is $1 million in revenue, $500,000 in expenses. Okay, so now you have a 50% profit. It's just a good starting point. You have the option to reduce that profit margin, but don't start with a really small profit margin. It's a lot harder to work within something that's so much smaller. Let's just start with a bigger margin. So if you need to tap into that margin, you have the option. So now you know you have $500,000 in expenses. So sorry, we're going to go into some math here and then we'll get into mindset. But $500,000 in expenses does not mean $500,000 for your payroll or for your contractor fees. It means everything. So now you need to know what's your operational expense at a team of X, right? To get the work done for $1 million in revenue or €1 million or £1 million. What is the expense budget, the operational expense budget? So that's software. If you're renting an office, even if you're renting an office part-time or you're just renting space for meetings or for workshops, all of the operational budget needs to be included. So back of the napkin math, 50%. So now we're at $250,000 for expenses, and that includes marketing. And then we'll break that down. But so $250,000 in expenses and $250,000 for payroll. So now you need to look at your team and understand what you need from them to understand what the annual salary or contractor cost would be for the type of people you need working within a $250,000 budget. So isn't it interesting how $1 million doesn't seem like that much money when you start to break it down, right? So now we have two buckets. We have our payroll or contractor. I really suggest work with contractors until you have very consistent revenue over, let's say, 3 to 4 years. I know that seems like a long time, but bringing people onto payroll is 30% more expensive. And I'm not encouraging unfairness or undue labor, whatever legalities, but I am somebody who encourages entrepreneurship. So I also feel like there's a mutually beneficial part to people running their own businesses and contracting out to work with you. So I would say on your way to a million, until you crest that, it might be interesting to look at contractors until you're at a very consistent cash flow. Okay, so now we've got that earmarked and now we have expenses of $250,000. So what do you need to support what you're selling to earn $1 million? So if I was looking at the structure of my business, one of the things I need, for instance, in terms of software is an LMS. So a learning management system. And this is where I would run courses and workshops and things online. And it's a portal and it's a place for my clients to go and track their progress in courses and be able to potentially log into their account, see what they've paid. If they're on a monthly membership, they can sort of see the cycles of their subscription, things like that. So that's a piece of software that is going to be important for my business. And PS, already done. But that's the, like, as you're scaling your business to something where you want to have a product line or a services line that's scaled up, what do you need to support that? Okay, so now we're at, I would say, step 8, where you're understanding the tools. So step 9 is understanding the team, and the costs obviously are continual. But then we need to understand the tools that are part of this million vision. I keep wanting to throw a currency in there, but million buck vision. So what tools are you going to need as you're looking at products or services to scale up in your business? What are the tools? They're different for everyone. I know right now there's this kind of push for passive income. So a lot of people are doing like Etsy with fulfillment companies, basically fulfilling orders and things like that for them. So if that's something in your trajectory, you want to think about all the costs related to fulfillment. If you're going to be putting out lots of product, you might need a third-party fulfillment team. What's the cost going to be? You have $250,000 to spend. So just remember, it needs to fit in to that budget. So outline the tools and maybe third-party costs that you're going to need to be able to service people at that level. Now we want to talk about marketing, because you can't sell anything unless you're getting the word out. That's really all marketing is you're just getting the word out. You're making sure that you're seen, that people know who you are, and that your products and services are showing up in the places where people are looking for those products and services, right? You just want to be in those places. So marketing costs and advertising costs money. It doesn't cost money if you're relying on referrals and word of mouth. Leverage that as much as you can, because again, budget's not that big for $1 million, right? $1 million in revenue, the budget, which is a fraction of $250,000, is not huge. What I would say a healthy starting point, and it's a little bit on the low end, but I would say start your advertising budget. If you're at $1 million, hopefully along the way, you've already ramped yourself into an advertising budget. But a healthy budget is about 5 to 6% of the revenue, which takes us out of this $250,000 budget. So it's okay to pull it down, but definitely set a percentage that's consistent, because the most important thing with advertising is consistency. You want to earmark a budget and you want to consistently be utilizing that budget and consistently watching that budget and optimizing the budget. So don't just throw, $50,000 towards Facebook ads and then just sit there and let it go. You want to be checking every month to make sure they're actually converting people to new customers. So you can get the word out, but if that word is not getting people to buy, then you need to consider moving the placement of that ad or the placement of your webinar, whatever it is that you're using as a mechanism to sell things. You might want to move it around. Don't do it too often. Give yourself some time to understand if it's working, but you might want to move it around to optimize it. And you might want to get some help. So AKA third-party agency or a contractor to help support your marketing and advertising budget, right? So that's a part of your $250,000 expense budget. Now remember, we have 50%, we have $500,000 in profit right now. If we want to dip into that a little bit, we can. So now we know tools, we know our people, and we have a sense. This would be step 7. We have a sense for how much we're going to spend in marketing and advertising. Okay. Now let's go backwards to step 6. how do we talk about what we're selling? Who are the people and where are we finding them? So step six is really coming up with a hearty marketing plan. And this is a step that too many people skip, but you want to know who your people are and what their pains are and what excites them and what motivates them, and try out different ways to ask questions and talk about what you do so that it resonates with that audience. Now, this part is going to take some time, right? And this is where you might want to get some help. This is something I coach people on too because of my advertising background. But you want to make sure you're really honing in on your audience. And this is something that I've struggled with too, because we can have a niche, we can have like a niche service or product offering that is only good for a small number of people, or we can cast a wide net. And both are fine. The advantage of niching down or getting your Venn diagram down, and I use this method also for people in career transition, you can apply for everything and see what comes in, or you can get really clear on what you want, really clear on the environment you want to land in, really clear on the industry you want to be in, the type of people you want to work with. You just keep nailing it down and pulling it down and pulling it down. And at the end of the day, you might only be applying for two jobs. And that might feel weird. Like, I'm putting all my eggs in these two baskets, but that's because you've gotten really clear on what you want. So those two baskets are baskets you actually really want, rather than casting a really wide net and then having a lot of things come in that are not the right fit. And I can tell you, after being in this game for a while in the capacity I'm in now, where it's I'm a solopreneur, I'm doing my own marketing and advertising, I'm trying to find my people, I can tell you that the wide net does not bring in the people who are best suited to work with me. And that's a dual relationship, right? I get so much joy from working with my clients. But if they're not the right fit, it's not going to feel, it's not just about joy, but it's not going to feel like I'm doing my best work. And it's not going to feel like they're receiving the work in the same way if they're not the right fit. So I have to make sure that when people are coming in the door, I've seeded what it is to come in through this door. Right? They need to sort of have a sense of who am I? And I'm a unique coach. I have a very extensive business background. I've grown a lot of businesses. I'm also a little woo-woo. I'm a little mindset. I'm going to dig into your fear and we're going to pull it out. And sometimes that's going to be uncomfortable. But we're also going to take actions and you're going to see the change, right? But I'm a little different in this space. So if you don't know what you're getting when you come through the door, and a lot of people come through that door and they're like, wow, that's expensive. That's out of my price range. And some people come through the door, they're like, whoa, that's cheap. I'm not kidding. I get both. People are like, whoa, that's a lot of value for what you're charging. And those are my people. And not because it's a demographic thing, but it's because they see the value of what I'm offering in my experience and that it's actually really cheap. Like what I charge in the world of as an employee, like what people have to pay me when I'm in their organization as an employee is a lot. And so when you come in to work with me one-on-one, you're getting a deal. You're getting a deal. But if you come in the door and you don't see that, or you don't understand the value, or you're not in the right place yet to be launching your business and ready to use these tools and start kind of running towards the finish line, if you're not ready for that, it's going to feel intense and it's going to feel expensive, right? So I have to message people the right way. So you want to spend a lot of time in this step. And what did we call it? Step six. I'll write this down in the show notes. But so you want to spend time crafting this message and testing it. And it's the same thing with advertising in different places and looking and seeing if that's working for you. You want to try on different messages. This is what they call A/B testing, like try message one for one audience and try message two for one audience and see what the results are. This is a really easy thing to test through emails. If you have a list of emails, even if it's small, let's say you have 10 emails, send 5 people one subject line and sort of one message in the email, and send the other 5 people something else, and just see what the results are. See if you get kind of different engagement between the two. So spend a lot of time on your marketing and make sure that it's honed in enough. And again, if you want to cast a wide net, it's up to you. But I have found, after casting many wide nets, feeling scared to niche it in, I have found that if I'm doing a webinar, for instance, and it's really specific and really targeted, that even if only 5 people come, I might get 50% of those people as clients, right? Like 2.5 people as clients, which is great. Like I only need 2 clients a month, really, essentially in my business. That's all I'm really working towards. And then I have programs. So the programs, I would want to maybe cast a wider net. But when I'm working one-on-one with people, it's really specific, the person that I'm looking to work with. And I'm still trying to hone that in and further define it. And it's a process. It's a great place to get some help from a strategist. I can make some recommendations. You can work with me. Like, this is a good thing to really, really hone in before you start spending money, right? This is like before that budget part on purpose. You know what your budget is, but you want to make sure that you're not just spending money haphazardly. That's not going to get you anywhere. So now what? Well, the most important thing here is, what are you selling? Right? And what I want you to do in these first steps, step 1 through 5 is really, or 5 through 1, is making sure that what you're selling, and this is the mindset woo-woo stuff, is aligned with who you are, is in your integrity, is authentically something that's yours. This process of defining your service or defining your offer or figuring out, I mean, hopefully if you're in a product business, you've landed on a product that already feels aligned with you that you're going to be selling. But this is the part where there's longevity in your business, or it's a short-term fix. And again, both are fine. If you're looking for some short-term passive income, that's one way to look at your business. If you're looking at something that you're building over the long term, and 1 million is just one phase of your business, right? If you're really looking to grow or scale a business, and this can apply even if you're looking to go from 50,000 to 100,000, right? I'm talking about any scaling of your business. If you're looking to scale and grow, then you need to have longevity, which means you need to be connected to what you're selling, authentically connected. And even if you're an employee, if you are in a business where you're working for a company that sells a product or sells a service that you don't believe in, or you think is bad for the environment, or you've been closing your eyes to the realities of child labor in Vietnam, you know who you are, then you're going to have this kind of swimming upstream internal battle that you're going to do your work fine, but there's always going to feel like there's something wrong. And that's going to come through in your work, in your performance, and the way you're talking about your work, and whether or not you can really get people through the front door. Nobody is going to be engaged with you if your energy, right? If your external energy about what you're selling is deflated. That's a word I've used before in this podcast, but that deflated energy is not enough to get people to say, I have a pain point. That person's the solution. That person's my cup of water. Like, that's exactly what I need to get through this pain point in my life or career. This is what I need. So you want to spend, again, some time really honing this part in. And hopefully, if you're already on your way to a million, you're pretty close, right? You're pretty close to aligning to this product or service because, you know, you're not going to go from zero to a million. I mean, maybe that's your path. Maybe you aren't yet making money and you're like, yeah, a million. We might want to start with 10,000 though. And I'll do another podcast on going from zero to 10, because I think that leap is actually the hardest leap of the journey. I actually think going from revenue to higher revenue is an easier path, but going from no revenue to revenue is a different type of leap. So I will make sure to put a link in the show notes here for a future podcast. I will put a future podcast into my ether about zero to 10,000. So you should have some idea of what you're selling. But again, find the alignment. Rather than going out and externally trying to find your competition and then pull things from your competition that feel like they resonate with you, start from you. Because you are a unique person with unique skills and talents. And whether or not you believe that, that's a mindset thing, right? So we can spend time growing the mindset. That's what I tell my clients. If you're trying to go from X to Y, most of it is usually like, hey, that's a coaching problem, right? Like, let's just work on that. In coaching, that's a mindset shift. It's not a tactical shift, right? But there's a tactical part to building an offer and building a service, right? Building a program, building something that you want to sell. And it has to start with something that's very real to you. And this is a continual process also, but you have to find and land on something that feels like it's yours. It's not something that someone else is offering, right? It's just uniquely yours. It feels really linked to maybe some of the pain points you've experienced. And that's where it grows from, which is always where people have the most success. Really leaning on where they started. So for me, it's funny because I'm constantly trying to recalibrate this. Total side note, but I'm very interested in human design. You can read about it. You can Google human design. But part of my profile is that I absorb other people's energy and I absorb ideas. And I need to be really careful about closing myself off to the quote unquote research that feels very productive of us going out and looking at our competition and trying to pull ideas in from them. I am very susceptible to that because I start questioning the validity or benefit of what I'm offering because I start seeing what other people are offering. We all do this, right? It's so annoying. We start looking at what other people are offering. And here's the irony. We're looking at them and they're looking at us. So someone is watching you and someone is trying to emulate what you're doing while we're all looking externally. So spend some quality time digging in, meditating, visualizing, using some tools to really ask yourself continually, am I offering this product or service in benefit to my people to help solve a problem that was potentially a problem I faced? And do I feel like I'm going to be able to make impact and serve them and make change in this space? And I really do think this is something that applies to every product, right? So even if, let's say you wrote a book and you're trying to get your book out there, right? What are the pain points, number one, of the content of the book? What are you serving with the content of the book? But also, like, what have been your pain points around finding good books in, like, with the content that you're trying to find, right? Try to solve that problem too, because in doing that, you're going to better serve your people. Don't think of it as like, I need to sell, sell, sell. Think of it as like, I'm trying to serve my clients in a way that makes it really easy for them to find this information. And I feel like this information is important because it helped me get over a hurdle. So for me, my messaging is constantly changing. I just updated my website. I'm always looking at it and trying to really feel into, does it align? Does it align? Is this really the offer? Is this what I'm trying to serve to my clients? And when I really dig down deep, the problem I'm trying to solve is that people feel pain in their jobs. And for all reasons. And there's a coaching part to that. Like, how can we take away the pain, keep you in your job, but take away the pain? And there's also a, how do we help you make the leap of the thing that you've been dreaming about, but you're stuck in the world that you're in because it's comfortable and you know it, and you're afraid of making a leap, and you don't know what it looks like over there. Well, I do, because I made that leap, and I've made that leap multiple times. And I made that leap because I had so much pain in my job. And I didn't have good coaches, and I had very few really strong managers. The great managers I've had have been guests on this podcast, which is great. But I've had a long career. I've had pretty much, like, I would say three good managers. So this is part of the exploration of you really aligning to what was your pain point and how can you help serve people to get through that pain point and onto the other side, where we're not saying that there's no pain, but it's not that stuck, insecure. I'm trying to think of all the things I felt in those moments, and it's been a while, luckily, but like that feeling of like on Sunday that you just have dread, that sense of dread and anxiety. I mean, I had a job where I went into the office and I was so riddled with anxiety because of the mood and temperament of the leadership team, that every day was going to be different depending on their mood and temperament and how the partners were getting along or not getting along. And it's interesting when I say that out loud, because that actually applies to two different jobs I had who had partners that didn't always see eye to eye, and it just created so much tension, like day-to-day tension. So anyway, that is my mission. And it was so painful for so long that I do not want anyone else to have to go through or feel that pain. So I try to hit it at multiple levels, and that and making that all align, and so that people understand that that's ultimately my mission. That's what I'm always trying to change, like update and optimize, because do you get it? So I help people with career transition, because, you know, and I also coach people in their current roles. So I do some executive coaching of people in their current roles who have some pain points that want to stay where they are, but they just want to take away the pain. So I help them with that. And then I also help people make that leap into entrepreneurship. And I also help people who are in a business, who have been running the business for a while, who are feeling pain, level up through leadership or executive coaching. So it's all based around this desire to remove pain. But if you come into my website from the outside, you're going to be like, is she a business coach? Is she a career coach? Is she an entrepreneur coach? Yes. But what's not always clear, even to me, is like, is it clear that it's all coming from this place of, I just want to remove pain and want to remove your pain? So this is a continual process, even for me, but spend time getting there and aligning to it and making it feel very true and authentic to who you are, and make it feel, bring all those feelings forward so that people understand that you've walked this path and there's room for them to walk it too. And I think there's another part to this, that people wait until they feel like they've got it perfect, right? Like, I could wait and do this podcast when I've crested a million, or I can teach you the path that I've been using with my clients, which I know works because I've used it over and over and over. And I still need to get my own business crested over the million mark, but I'm not going to wait I want you to come on this journey with me. And I also don't want to bullshit you. Like, I don't want to pretend like I'm something I'm not. I'm also on a journey. And I think that's something that a lot of my clients actually like, because they're like, oh, you have pain points too. Oh, you're hitting roadblocks too. There will always be a journey. When I hit a million, there's going to be a new journey, right? I'm going to have new pain points and new questions. I'm not trying to remove that from my life. I'm just trying to like bring in goodness, learn from it, go to the next level, right? Bring in something good, like try to optimize my mindset and then go to the next level. And there are pain points along the way and pressures and, you know, places where I have resistance. And my goal or my journey and the thing I love is that I get the opportunity in my job to go towards resistance. And when I get on the other side of that resistance, there's like huge rewards. So it's not just like resistance. It's resistance and then expansion and resistance and expansion. And they're not always equal in the amount of time that you have to spend in those places, but it's kind of like a rubber band, you know, when you pull it and you feel this pressure and tightness. And then when you release it, it's a relief. So I love that. Like, I just love this sense of work and release. And it's kind of like Shavasana in yoga. Oh my God, going totally woo-woo now. But you know, you work really hard in your yoga class and then you have stillness. And in that stillness, you marinate and you digest and your body gets to reap the benefits of all that work. And you just get to lay there with your socks on, warming up and just soaking in the juice. So these moments of resistance that you have towards getting to this goal, any moment in this podcast where you've been like, ooh, that feels hard, that's just your resistance. So don't run away from it. Just go towards it. Do that hard pose and then go into Shavasana. You know, like go towards these goals. Go through each of these steps. And maybe a million is not going to be at step 10, but maybe for you, it's going to be 10,000, or for you, it's going to be 100,000, or it's going to be 200,000, right? Like we all have a number. When you go through these steps, trust me, that number is going to increase. So just keep doing it. Rinse and repeat, right? Keep going through these steps, optimize, learn from it, do it better the next time, slow down. Look at yourself in the mirror, right? Like, here's my yoga metaphor. Correct your hips, right? Change the language, change the messaging. Look at your advertising, right? And then keep going forward. And keep doing this 10-step cycle, but take the amount of time at each step that you need to do it well. Don't rush it. We're not rushing to this endpoint because this is a journey, right? This is a journey. Through every step, we have learnings that are going to propel us. The more time we spend there, honestly, it's going to propel us to that next step. So this is why it's step 1 through 5 of really organizing and aligning to what it is that you're selling or offering. And this could be something you go through when it's a launch, right? If you're launching a new program and you put that 2 months out and you have a certain number that you want to hit at stage 10, do this same kind of work back. Work through each one of these steps, see where you land. I'd be so interested if you work through these steps, because again, this framework has been in my head for so long. But if you work through these steps, let me know if it's working, if you're getting results. I'm seeing it with my clients, but I just, again, like I walk them through it in our sessions, but if you're just applying it on your own, I just want to see if it's working for you. So drop a comment. You can always send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Good luck on your path to a million. I will keep you posted as we continue to see how much closer I get to that marker. All right, I'm going to leave it at that. Talk to you next week. Are you looking to level up your leadership skills, build more confidence, be able to guide and train your colleagues or team to be better leaders? Then I want you to look into my coach training program. This is a 6-week program starting on April 2nd, and it's invite only. So we'll get on a call and talk through whether or not this is a good fit for you. You'll leave with a certification to be able to coach inside of your organization. This is a way for you to strengthen your skills and maybe even potentially break out on your own to become a leadership trainer or a leadership coach in your own business. Set up a call now to reserve your spot for the Leadership Coach Training Program. You've been listening to Business for Humans. Don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And please leave a review so that other business owners can find the show. Learn more at practica.consulting.